Thank you, ladies. They sang that at Mum Revival a couple of weeks ago. We enjoyed it there as well. Dwight McDonough is back with us. See what you've been missing, man? All that therapy and surgery and stuff, and I'm glad you're back here. Also, as unless Brother Bill can tell me differently, Ruth Nations went through her valve replacement surgery well over the weekend. She came home last night. Okay, so on the ventilator. Oh, she came off the ventilator. Yeah. Anyway, she's doing well. She's doing better. So we're glad about that. I'd like to ask if you would to take your Bibles, turn to Proverbs 3. It's in the Old Testament. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, and then what comes after that? Ecclesiastes. So right there. If you're going to use the Pew Bible that's there in front of you, it is page 576. The 2015 theme for our Vacation Bible School is Journey Off the Map, Unknown to Us, Known to God. That sounds like a rather heavy kind of theme for children, but the idea is that God acts like a shepherd for us, and He guides us into those places that seem unknown, but they're already known to God, and He can give us direction for that. So children are going to be memorizing this key verse from Isaiah 30, 21. Whenever you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear this command behind you. This is the way, walk in it. So the whole week is to help them understand that God wants to be their guide, and if they will incline themselves to hear Him and to listen to Him and to focus upon Him, that God will whisper in their ear and give them direction as they move forward in life. Well, if children need direction and guidance, guess who else needs it even more? Yeah, a few of us in here need it a little bit more, all right? So, I do, so if this is just for me, we're going to have a great time today, all right? So, instinctively, we figure that we're smart. We're adults, we've been through enough, we know how to move forward and handle the issues of life. But there is something that takes place in the life of a believer in the Lord that you finally discover that you cannot rely on your own resources and personal abilities. You must learn to trust in God. Is that right? I want to make sure I'm on the right path here, otherwise I could just scrap the next three pages and we'd be in good shape. So when our lives lead us to a place of the unknown, how do we know how to follow God, to follow Him with confidence? I have chosen for a passage this morning, Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. Years ago when I was a teenager, we had a man come to our church with his wife. The man's name was Sammy Tippett. His wife's name was Tex. It's actually Deborah, but they call her Tex. And at the end of one of the services, I went up to Tex, Sammy Tippett's wife, asked her if she would sign my Bible. She took my Bible and opened it up to the front cover, and she signed in it. Now, this is back in the 1970s, so you'll have to forgive this phrase, but she said, "Keep on trucking for Jesus, Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. Well, I was not real familiar with those verses back when I was in high school, so I looked them up, and they have become some of the most meaningful verses for me in my life, and maybe for many of you. So we are going to read those today because they tell us that this is one of the richest texts of the Bible. Some scholars have written that it represents the essence of religious faith. And one ancient rabbi that I read said, this is the text upon which all the essential principles of Judaism may be considered to hinge. There are many who find this a foundational passage of Scripture for us if we're going to follow God. Let's read it together. Proverbs 3, beginning with verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. Think about Him in all your ways, and He will guide you on the right paths. Don't consider yourself to be wise. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This will be healing for your body and strengthening for your bones. Well, if this passage does indeed, like the rabbi said, include all the essential principles, then let's see what some of those principles are. I've tried to make it very simple. If you have her outline there, everything's going to start with T. So here's the first thing. We have got to trust in God. If we're going to have confidence to move forward into the unknown, into things that are out there that require us to make decisions and discern the purpose of our life, we have got to start by trusting in God. Now, this particular language here is not a call to those who do not know Christ by faith or do not have a relationship with God, but indeed, this is a call to those who already know God and have faith in Him. We cannot call people who are unbelievers, who do not trust in God, who have not entered into a relationship with God, to start out by trusting their entire lives to God. They are not ready for that. They haven't learned those principles. They have not made the primary decision of their life to accept God's relationship through forgiveness and salvation. A person who wants to know God's direction for their life has got to start by accepting God's offer of relationship in Christ before they can understand to trust Him for the daily things of life. If you are here today and you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ, some of the things that I will share will make no sense to you because you do not have the spiritual mind that God gives us because of a relationship with Christ. You're going to sit back and say, there is no way in the world I believe that or would do that. But once you have bent yourself to receive God's forgiveness in Christ, it is amazing what will take place in your thinking. The question of confidence for us to move forward with God into an unknown, a jungle that is out there that is calling us to step forward into it, that kind of confidence to move forward with God begins with a willingness to stop trusting in yourself and completely trust in God. Now, why do I know that? Well, looking at the words in this first verse, to trust in the Lord, it conveys certain images. There's other places in the Bible that use those same words, and they give us a better picture, maybe, of what is meant by that word to trust. For example, Proverbs 22:9 uses that very same word in describing how a baby will lie in its mother's arms. It is that kind of a trust, totally dependent upon the mother to hold that child and nourish that child. But in Jeremiah 12:5-6, there's kind of an interesting twist to this. The same word is used to a person who trips and falls helplessly to the ground. And I thought, well, that's kind of a strange picture of what it means to trust God. But let me see if I don't want to demonstrate it for you because I'll end up on the floor and Albert will have to come over and pick me up. But I think you can get the idea. If you're going to trip down the steps here and you're going to fall, you fall helplessly, hopelessly into whatever's going to catch you. And sometimes it's the ground. That's rather embarrassing when that happens. And it hurts a lot. But think of that same image if you are to fall helplessly and hopelessly, and what catches you are the hands or the arms of God to protect you. That is the picture that we get in this phrase. To trust in the Lord is to rest in His arms. To trust in the Lord is to fall helplessly, hopelessly into His arms for protection and care. And that message is there that we rest in the Lord. We fall upon the Lord. So rather than relying on our own wits and abilities and our own sense and insight, we decide that we will have a wholehearted and absolute dependence upon God. I will fall helplessly into His arms. And to do that, I have got to realize that I have nothing to bring to the table. All of my smarts and all of my knowledge and all of my experiences do not amount to enough to guide me through all of my life. I must helplessly fall into the hands of God. We are admonished to trust Him with all of our heart and all of our emotions and mind and will. All of our beliefs and decisions for life must be submitted to God. And without fear or distrust or doubt, we will move forward into the unknown of our life because we are depending upon God. Sometimes we have important decisions to make. I have had decisions I've had to make through my life, and there have been times when I wasn't sure who to trust to get guidance from. Sometimes I wasn't even sure if it was worth God's trouble or God's time or if He really had an answer for me. But God does know best for us. He He's a better judge of what we want and what we need than we are. Many times I have tried to help children realize that although that in their teenage years and 20s they are trying to move away from their parents, they should never forget that parents love them more than anybody else does in the world. Unless they're a bad parent, but that's rare. A good parent loves their children more than anybody else does in the world. And when my daughters came to me and said, well, so-and-so said this, I said, that may be true, but they don't love you like your mother and I love you. Listen to us. We love you. When will we get it into our thick skulls as believers in Jesus Christ that God loves us more than anyone in the universe? We can trust him to want our best in life. He will guide us for our best. We must trust him completely. Now, it doesn't mean that you omit your careful thinking. Maybe you'll do your planning. Don't belittle your God-given ability to reason. He has given you those gifts. But never trust your own ideas and push everything out away from you and not listen to others that might give you advice, how God might use them and bless you. The responsibility that we bear for our life is too great. The stakes are too high. Our own resources are too limited for us to go forward alone in our own strength. If it's a jungle out there, I don't want to go by myself without a guide. Isaiah will tell the children, listen carefully. God will be behind you, and he will speak to you, and you will know how to move forward because he will give you direction. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Second thing, if we're going to move with confidence into the unknown, decisions we must make, life as it is handed to us, we've got to think about God. In the Amplified Bible, verse 6 reads like this. In all your ways know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. Now the meaning here is that if we have entered into a relationship with God, we must spend the rest of our lives learning to know him. Now I've used this illustration before, but I think it makes sense to most people. Back in 1981, on September the 12th, Joyce Raitt and I stood in front of our pastor, and he asked us a bunch of questions about will we and do we and shall we, and we both said yes, not knowing what we were getting ourselves into. But we have spent the last 34 years getting to know each other. Now, I won't swear, because she is a female, I won't swear that I understand everything she thinks about. But after this many years, I could pretty much guess, if you ask her a question, what her answer would be. And certain things people might want to say about her that I would know, there's absolutely no way that it would be true. And if there's a decision to be made, I would have a pretty good idea of how she would respond in that. Why? Is it because I'm so smart? No, it's because I have spent 34 years getting to know her. And she, 34 years getting to know me, which is even scarier. Okay. So for me to say to you, oh, just trust God, it's not trusting him in just kind of a flippant way. It's you've got to think about him. You've got to get to know him. And the more that we experience him and acknowledge him, we will trust, be secure, and have confidence in moving forward with him. I trust my wife because I know her. I trust God because he has allowed me to spend a number of years with him, spending that time getting to know him. I am able to move faster and farther with God today because I know him much better than I did the day I was saved. To seek confidence and be committed to trust in God means that we are going to have to expect a major impact on the way we think. The way you present yourself to God when you accept him as Savior and he receives you by his grace and gives you forgiveness of sin and imparts his Spirit into your heart and life. When he does that, you don't really know all the ins and outs of that relationship and what it will be. But the more that you spend time with God and you intimately get to know him, the more you're able to trust him, to move quicker when he gives you direction, and to have more confidence as you move forward. Everything we do, we need to acknowledge his presence and expect and welcome his involvement and watch for his activity. Sometimes when we're children, especially when we get to be teenagers and we're learning how to be a little independent, if mom and dad tell us what they think, we brush it off like, I don't want to know what you think. I want to do it my own way. And if that is a very dangerous ground to be upon as a Christian, if we tell God, we don't want to know what you think, I can handle this. I have been there. Anybody else fall on their face? That happens in life. We must become aware that he is always in the mix. Whatever we're doing, we're serving him. If we're digging ditches, if we're a nurse, if we're teaching school, if we work in a factory, if we sit at a desk, if you acknowledge that you were serving God with your life, then God is in the mix of that. We are not robots that are on autopilot. We are living in a growing and dynamic relationship with God. And we sang a hymn a while ago that had the words in it, we live and breathe and have our being in him. It means that we begin and end everything with a sense of God in the mix. Now, when we live this way, we will be surprised what God does. It's not all about us. It is just submitting ourselves to God. Then we will be amazed at what God does. His ways are often beyond our comprehension, but there will be times when, because we have acknowledged God and we are trusting him, that he will give us guidance. Number one, when we read God's word, he gives us guidance. We can trust Christian leaders and friends, people that we have tested over time to see if they give us wise counsel. And we can trust that the Holy Spirit is working in our life. But I have seen this, I hope that you have as well, that when you are following after God and acknowledging him in all the areas of your life, you will be surprised that people will be brought into your life that will have impact and influence in guiding you in God's ways. There are lost people and there are saved people that throughout my life God has used to give me direction and guidance. Experiences have been afforded to me so that beyond my control or beyond my making, God has guided my steps. Obstacles have been removed that have kept me from dangerous or inappropriate places. I am so grateful at times when I was getting myself in a mess that God would shut a door or slam the door in my face and move me away from that and protected me from times of danger. I have often prayed, God, thank you for protecting me from times of danger when I didn't even know I was in danger. And that kind of faith involves us trusting God as we put down our foot into a new arena and move forward with God into something that is unknown. Years ago, I saw a poster that said, faith is going to the end of all the light that you have and taking one more step. Going to the edge of all the light you have and then taking one more step, knowing God will be there when you place your foot. When I was a senior in high school, I was taking a lot of business courses. And so I got the ability to get out of school one day, and I was sent to a luncheon where they had some guest speakers. I don't really remember where it was, but there were several speakers. And one of the men that spoke that day was Senator Alan Dixon from Illinois. And I disagreed with a few things he said in his speech. How surprising is that? And so I asked if I could speak to him after the luncheon, and we spoke for a moment and discussed things and got to know one another. Out of that experience, he saw me in a musical that we did in high school. We did Hello, Dolly, and I played the character of Barnaby Tucker. And out of that, he contacted a friend of his that was a president of a university in Illinois. And long story short, they arranged for me to have an audition for a scholarship. I end up going to that audition and winning a full-ride scholarship to Illinois Wesleyan University and major in musical theater. I stayed there for a year. You know that story from other things I've told you. But he helped get me into school. Also, about 19 years later, when I was pastoring in Illinois, we had a flood in 1993 through 95. You probably know about that if you lived during those days. And the Mississippi River was flooding. And I was heading up a group that was looking for help to assist the families who had suffered through that experience. And lo and behold, when I made contact, I ended up talking to Alan Dixon, that senator. And he was able to, because he remembered our relationship when I was younger, he had some trust in me and was willing to invest some of his resources in us providing help for those people. Later on, we had a family that joined our church there in the town of Waterloo. And I didn't know it at the time until many years later, but they had been sent to us on recommendation from Alan Dixon, and lo and behold, it was his daughter and her family. So as a senior in high school, just going to a luncheon and hearing somebody speak, how did I know that God would use that relationship all the way through my life for a number of years? So what I'm saying is that if we will think about God and acknowledge God, look for him in all the places that we find ourselves, watching what he's doing, see how he's moving, tend to listen to what he says to us through the Holy Spirit and through the Bible, trusted counselors and friends, we will be amazed at how God will use that to direct the steps of our life. And exactly that's what that verse says. Think about him in all your ways, and he will guide you on the right paths. Now, maybe you already acknowledge God in many areas of your life, but there are areas where you attempt to restrict or ignore him. I want to warn you that if you keep God out of those areas, they will cause you grief. But if you'll yield them to God, you will discover that by being a vital part of everything you do, God will guide you because you are at work to accomplish the purposes he has for you. Trust in the Lord and think about him in all the things that you do. The third principle that we get from this passage is to turn to God. Now, the natural response when we are insecure or uncertain is to turn inwardly and rely on ourselves. Years ago, Joyce and I lived in Granite City, Illinois. I pastored Pontoon Baptist Church there. I always joke that we can't walk on water, but we know how to float on it. But she was heading up the 1988, 100th year anniversary of the WMU in the state of Illinois. So she was heading up some programs, and I went together to one of those big events that she had. When we came home that night, I punched the button on a garage door opener, and the garage door didn't come up. So I got out, and I went into the car that was next, our other car. We'd driven our van, we got into the car, and I punched the button there, and it didn't open up. So I walked around the house. I walked around the house and tried to look at everything. When I came around to the front of the house, I noticed the front door was ajar. And I went inside and kind of carefully looked around. I noticed that the piano bench had been moved away from the piano. There was a 2-liter bottle of Coke that was sitting on the piano bench. And we had a pendulum clock that sat on the piano, and it was laid down on its back with the lid open. So it didn't take me long to figure out, somebody's been here, okay? I'm a sharp guy. I walked out, went back around the house just to look again, and that time I saw the screen from a back window that was thrown out into the yard right where I had walked before. So I know when I came in the front door, they went out the back window. Well, lo and behold, we called the police, and they came and checked everything, and my wife lost a lot of her jewelry. They threw a lot of things out on the bed and took a pillowcase and threw everything in there and took it. They got my high school ring and all kinds of things like that. My sister was staying with us at the time, and she was really upset because they threw all of her jewelry out on the bed and they didn't take any of it. So I don't know if that was a blessing or a curse. I don't know, but she was so mad that mine's not good enough. Anyway, so that night we went to bed, And of course, we were scared to death the whole night. And in the middle of the night, as God would have it, a clock fell off the wall in the kitchen. And when it did, I grabbed this stick that I had in my bed in my less than public attire, let me put it that way. And I'm running down the hallway, and the stick was so big, I beat up the walls all the way down the hallway to get to the kitchen, you know, to finally take care of that criminal. Well, I experienced that night and for several nights what it meant that you cannot trust on your own abilities. I can't keep people out of my house. I can't keep them from stealing things. The police officer, the night that he came, he took our report. He says, well, if it's any consolation to you, you're number 58. And we said, well, that absolutely is no help to us at all. They never did find anything. I don't even think they looked for anything that we had lost. But I realized that I cannot defend myself. The best I can do is get up in the middle of the night, forget my glasses. I can't even see down the hall, much less do anything about it. And I beat the walls to death. I had to learn in that experience. It took us several days before we would relax and rest and trust in God. Now, many times when we face a difficult time, maybe you're like me, you'll say to yourself, well, you're a smart person. You can figure this out. Or you know what you need better than anybody else. Or sometimes I'll figuratively kick myself in the seat of the pants and say, stop being such a wimp. What's the worst that can happen? And you move forward and do your own thing. But the Bible warns us against trusting ourselves in situations that we cannot handle. It's often our inability to objectively understand ourselves that makes us our worst advisor. Because we are handicapped by our own limitations, we think we could get this all figured out. But to reverence God means that you will not place your faith in yourself and in your own grasp of the situation. You cannot put your faith in your own ability to think and act. We are admonished in Scripture, be not wise in your own eyes, but reverently fear and worship the Lord and turn entirely away from evil. When I was studying this week, I thought to myself, what does following God have to do with turning away from evil? Those seem to be kind of two sides of something. But I learned that we must choose to live differently. When you're going to turn to God, you have got to live in a different way. And if you're going to know the joy and confidence of following after God, you have got to change the way you live. Sometimes when you do that, when you decide to live wisely according to God's principles, you will be surrounded by foes. Now, that doesn't seem to make sense. You think everything would be happy and fun when you decide to live the way God wants you to live. Unfortunately, sometimes the environment can be hostile. You will have people who are ready to doubt you, will knock you off course, and drag you down. When you decide and you confirm your heart and your purpose to live for God, there will be people around you who will say, that is so unusual, we cannot abide it, and we must try to trip you up in some way. It is testing whether or not you are going to trust God or will you trust yourself and the people around you more than God. Even your personal abilities will make you think that you're wise enough to choose your friends and develop a lifestyle, but don't be fooled by that. Every relationship in your life, once you decide to trust God, every relationship has got to be judged by God's wisdom and purpose for you. There have been, let me just give you one silly example that I think most of you understand. There are times when you decide to live for God, and yet you find that person over there that you'd like them to be your friend. Or when you were younger, I think he's a handsome guy, I want him to be my boyfriend. Or she's good looking, I want her to be my girlfriend. But because you have focused your life on following after God, you realize that those friendships have got to be put aside if you're going to move forward with God. It's not to say you're better than them, it's just that they do not fit into what God has directed for your life. You will find that while others will get involved in many things that seem to be good and fine for them, you will have to shun those things if you're going to know God's direction for your life. When I was a young man, a woman in our church by the name of Dolores Pierce, who was a prayer warrior and had pledged to pray for me, one time she gave me a tract, and on it says, others may, you cannot. And all the way through that track, it was defining for me those things that others may find easy and fine to do because their focus is not centered on following after God. But if you're going to follow after God, there are certain things you cannot let be a part of your life. It is saying no to sometimes good things and the bad things so that you can say yes to the best thing God has for you. Now, strong confidence and security come to us because they're not based upon just some kind of mental exercise about the nature of God. This is a life that works. It is humbling yourself before God. And if you try to trust in yourself, Isaiah 5:21 has a word for us. Woe to those who are wise in their own opinion and clever in their own sight. We must turn to God and turn away from sin. One last thing, and this is the fun one. We are trusting in God, thinking about God, and turning to God. And I needed a fourth T. So here goes. Toast your health. Well, it's not too far-fetched. When you live God's way, you're going to find that life is more wonderful, steps are lighter, burdens are less, and you feel better. Now, that's not just me saying it, but I want to encourage you to shout out a toast to your health. Because the word that is translated here, strengthening, really means refreshment, and it's actually a drink. So it says, give yourself a drink. Find the refreshment that comes in that. Now, so I want you to, and I'm going to give you some guidance here just to make sure we stay Baptist. Pick up a bottle of water. Get a glass of sweet tea. Find a pitcher of lemonade. Raise it and declare all the joy that is yours by saying, I follow God and I feel good. All right? That's what the scripture is telling us. That if you will trust in the Lord and think on Him and turn to God, that your bones feel better, your body is invigorated, your spirit is enlivened. Now, I can't guarantee you're going to live a longer life, but I can tell you that with God, what life you have will be that much better. Trusting and thinking about and turning to God bring invigoration to your health and bring vitality. Wouldn't you think that would make sense? You live life God's way, all the blessings of life become yours. Well, let's just try some experiments. Nobody raised their hand. I don't want any personal testimonies. But I know this to be true. I know enough about human beings to know this is true. Probably every single one of us at some time or other have decided to step out on our own. We know what we're doing. We've got it all figured out. We've done our homework. We've made the best decision we can. Oh, we really haven't contacted or trusted in God like we should, but that's all right. We're confident. We're mature. We've got some experience under our belt. We're ready to move forward. And we did, and we fell flat on our face. Try it God's way. Try the promise of Scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Shun evil and turn toward God. Don't be wise in your own eyes. And the Bible tells us that it will be life to our bones and health to our bodies and strength to our life. Now, I have often heard a person say, well, we prayed about it. Must be the right thing to do. Even some of you may have said that. Maybe if we stretched it out a little bit, it'd be better. We've prayed about it. We've sought God's counsel. We've received good advice from people that we have learned to trust over a number of years. We have waited for spiritual direction. Then we felt good about our decision. Maybe they're onto something there. Not just we prayed about it. Anybody can pray about something, and your brain will trick you into thinking it's God's will. And then you sign a piece of paper, and for the next 30 years, you're paying for something that has become an albatross around your neck. But it felt good. Doesn't the Bible say when God shuts a window, He opens a door somewhere? No, it doesn't say that. It does say this: trust in the Lord, think on Him, turn to God, and your life will be a whole lot better. Now, if you were going to be teaching Bible school this week, and you had six or seven third graders or fourth graders at your feet, and they ask you, how can I know that God is going to guide me in my life? What advice would you give them? Oh, just get on the internet, Google it. Nothing's wrong on the internet. All that's true. Oh, just go down to the library and get a book. Oh, just ask your buddies. They probably know more about it than you do, so they'll give you the right direction. Are you kidding me? If that's the kind of advice you would give, please don't mess with children. The advice we need to give them is this. Realize that you're not going to be able to make all the decisions by yourself. Surely you should do some thinking. God gave you that ability. You should ask some questions of people. But when it's all said and done, the best advice I can give you is this. Trust God with all your heart. Acknowledge Him in everything that you're doing and seek to find where He is at work. Stay away from the evil stuff, even if you have to move friends away for a while so that you can center on God, because sometimes your thoughts will trick you. And I will guarantee you, if you will do those things, the Bible gives us a promise that your health will be invigorated, your life will be better. And this is the way I say it. I always think of myself a whole lot younger than I am. I'm getting older every week. My daughter reminds me of it regularly. But in my youthful thinking, this is what I think. You know what? I've seen a lot of people who are more up in years than I am. They tell me this. Stick with God. It's always good to trust Him. To me, that's good advice. You're going to leave here today and you're going to head off into the jungle after you have Sunday school. You're going to go off into the real world out there. And when you do, you need to know these principles that a rabbi says all of Judaism hinges on these things. And it is this. Trust in God. Think about Him. Turn to Him. And then toast your health. God wants to bless you. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank You for the richness of Your Word. So many people that I have met through the years in churches that where I've served have found these verses to be so rich for their life. There must be something here that we need to give attention to. I pray, Heavenly Father, that You will bless us. I pray, first of all, that what I taught was truth. I pray what I taught was clear. And I pray that we're able to absorb that into our hearts and lives. Father, first of all, to know that we must accept Jesus Christ as Savior, enter into a relationship with God because You love us more than anybody else. And once we have spent some time with You, walked the journey with You, have tested You like Your Word tells us to do, we will find that You are true. And I pray that You'll give us the courage and give us the faith to fall helplessly, hopelessly into Your hands, saying to You, Lord, we trust You. We depend upon You. We can't do it by ourselves. We need Your guidance. We need Your help. We need Your counsel. And then to trust that You will speak to us from Your Word, the Holy Spirit will encourage our hearts, that You'll bring people into our pathway that will help us, whether they know You or not. You will use them as servants for us. And along the way, You will guide our steps. Lord, what a blessing it is for us to trust in You and You to bless us in return. Thank You that that is our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.